You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
As we continue to move into this new year and all the exciting things that are in store. So you walked in and you probably went, wait a second. What did they do to the chairs in the overflow room? That's on purpose.
Some of you are mad because those are your seats.
That's on purpose this morning, and we're going to be getting to that. But we just kind of want to do something a little different as we're ending this year, going into next year. And we want to specifically talk today about hosting His presence. And when we talk about His, we talk about the Father's presence, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, creating a place for that. And we just got done with Christmas, and some of you probably hosted either maybe one or two people, or maybe 40 or 50 people at your home sometime within the past 2 months. My wife loves to host.
I do. It's my southernness. We are good hosts in the South. We know how to throw a party. We're all about hospitality. And so when we were talking about this and preparing, I was trying to think of, you know, like what's a way to kind of, because I think when we say host God's presence, it might feel a little abstract. Like, what does that mean in my life? And when I think of the word host, I automatically go to the many parties I have planned. I've gotten better. Moving out west has made me a little more chill, so I don't go quite to the extreme that I used to. But when you think about hosting a party, and I'm not talking about the casual get together, we're all in our sweats and we just all get together. Those are great too. But when you're intentionally hosting that specific party, whether it's Christmas or a birthday party, there's a lot of planning that goes into it, right? You think about who you're going to invite and who you're not going to invite. Okay. You think about what kind of food you're going to eat. You think about, in my case, how you're going to decorate the table. And so there's a lot of intentional thought that goes into when we send out an invitation. We know I'm hosting this party and I've let people know and I want them to come, and maybe it's a birthday party. I've got two daughters and they always have themes in mind, and so I always have to plan around the theme of what they've asked for. But when we host parties, we plan them and we think through the invite and we think through what we're going to do. And that really is a great illustration, a visual for us to take hold of when we think about hosting God's presence. There is preparation involved. There's things we do. There's ways we live daily that prepare the environment so that we can host His presence. And it's not as abstract, I think, that as we might think it is. It's not as far-reaching sometimes. Well, what does that mean? I'm going to host the God of the universe in my life. It's not as far-reaching as we think it is, but it does take some preparation on our part, because we have to get our hearts in the place that we're ready and that we can host His presence.
And as we were talking about this kind of concept of hosting His presence, my mind was drawn to a story in the book of Acts. And I think if there's one story that illustrates this in just a very succinct way, I think it's this story. But to set the background, Paul had just cast out a demon. And we would expect that to be a glorious, exciting, happy thing, because he just cast out a demon. Like, that's good. But instead, some people were not very happy about that, because this demon that was in this girl was actually the livelihood of some people. They were making money off of this person's demise. And so Paul casts out this demon. Everybody gets upset. And what ensues after that is Paul and Silas go to prison. Cast out a demon, go to prison. Makes sense, right? But we pick this story up in verse 22 of chapter 16. This is what it says. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure that they did not escape. So the jailer put them into an inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. So you kind of, that's the picture. That's the place they're in. And then the story just continues. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. Now, you understand here that he was in charge of making sure that they did not escape. And if he shows up the next morning and they go, "Where are all the prisoners?" And he goes, "There was an earthquake, the chains fell off, and they're all gone," he would be dead. He would be put to death because he allowed all of them to escape. So he just takes it upon himself to go ahead and end his life. But Paul shouts to him in verse 28, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here." And I think about this story and I think about, okay, this miraculous thing just happened and they stayed. And I think as we read this story, we find out there's a reason they stayed. Because in verse 29 says, "The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household.' And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. And even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he is in his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God." So you have this miraculous, crazy thing happen, and then you have people eating, you have people rejoicing, you have people getting baptized, you have people coming and getting saved, and it's just this glorious moment in the middle of the night, mind you. And all of this is happening before sunrise, because guess what happens? The sun comes up the next morning. Paul and Silas, you know, I just can picture this. They all go back and they sit there like, "Nothing happened. We're here just right where you left us." But then the cool story is that they end up getting released from prison. And legally. And they didn't have to run away. And so it's just this beautiful story of what God was doing in this moment. But I think that there's some very important elements to this story when we talk about hosting the presence of God. Because ultimately, what were Paul and Silas doing in that moment? They were hosting his presence. And the first thing that I think we can take from that is that hosting his presence should be a natural reaction, not a forced action. And I find it very interesting that the story says, so the jailer put them in the inner dungeon, clamped their feet in stocks. And then the very next verse, just around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. There's no, around 10 p.m., Paul and Silas were sitting there thinking about, what are we going to do in this precarious situation? How shall we proceed? Just around midnight, they're singing, they're praying. They are in the presence of God, enjoying this moment in the middle of a prison locked in shackles. You see, Paul and Silas, when they got into this situation, I don't think started freaking out going, "What are we going to do?" They started worshiping and praying, because it was a lifestyle for them. Every decision that they had been making for the years leading up to this point was centered around worship and prayer and seeking after the Father. And so in this moment, they just continued doing what they had always been doing. And that was worshiping and praying and creating an environment, hosting the presence of God. Because it just naturally flowed out of them. It naturally flowed out of who they were.
So the other thing that stands out to me about this scripture is, you know, obviously it's a miracle, and we read it and your first thought is, wow, what if I saw something like that happen? How amazing would that be? Or what if that happened to me? And that's so cool. But I think if you look under that layer to the deeper, I think what you see is that just because our situation changes, and even sometimes it's hard and really, really hard, doesn't mean that we lose the ability to host God's presence in our life. And I can't say that without thinking of what Christ did. Because here's the thing. Before Christ, what did we have to do to find God? We had to go to the temple, right? His presence was at the temple. The ark was there, and the people made the pilgrimage every year to come to the temple, make their sacrifice, be in God's presence. Jesus comes and he takes our place. Why? So that he can then come to us. So that we don't have to go there to find him. So that no matter where I am, what's happening, God's presence can be right there with me. The thing about that is when Israel had to go to the temple to find God's presence and to seek him, it was very intentionally done, right? They knew in their minds, they were determining, I'm going to the temple to make the sacrifice, to meet with God. So there was a lot of intentional thought that went into that. So Jesus comes and he doesn't make it less intentional, but he makes it easier, right? We don't have to pack our bag and go to the temple to find him. But that doesn't mean we have to be any less intentional in seeking his presence. And I see Paul and Silas and I think that's exactly what they did. They look at their situation and they go, well, we are in chains. We are shackled. We have been beaten. It says severely in the scripture. So it's bad. They are sick in their body. But they know something. They figured something out. That this physical experience I'm having does not have to determine whether or not God is or isn't with me. He can be with me. It doesn't matter the situation. And that is so important because we live in a culture, especially here in our country, where we want it to all be well and good on the outside, right? We want it to be comfortable and we don't always want to have to pursue the harder things. But if we're going to host the presence of God, we have to be intentional. It will mean sometimes it's uncomfortable. Let's be real. It wasn't easy for Paul and Silas. It couldn't have been easy to make their voices come forth with song because they were tired and they were beaten and they're in a dungeon. So it's not that when we choose to host the presence of God, when we say, it doesn't matter my circumstance, I'm going to host the presence of God. It's not a magic thing that turns on and we go, okay, it's always going to be easy. It's going to be hard sometimes because what we're seeing goes against what our spirit knows. But we can host the presence of God. And that's the beauty to me. That's the hope, is that even when it's really bad, when we're chained, maybe it's not physical, but spiritually, feeling burdened, even in that moment, my hope is that God hasn't left. His presence is available to me. I can be with him in that moment and he will not forsake me. And that's the beauty of being able to host his presence no matter what circumstance we're in.
And the beautiful thing about that is that regardless of the circumstance, you see, I think sometimes we try to make this complicated. And we come up with all these grandiose things of how do we host the presence of God and prayer and worship. Prayer and worship are key. And this past week, we went up north. Not all the way up north, but a little ways up north. And we're in the Payson area, and it was Thursday afternoon, and it was getting close to dusk, but I needed to go get a hike in. So
always, he needs to go get a hike in.
So I go out for this hike, and somebody had told me about this waterfall and all this stuff, so I go out to find this here waterfall, and I go on this hike. And I get there, and there's no snow. It's not snowing. And I start walking in, and while I get all the way in to where the waterfall is, and I'm standing there, and all of a sudden, snow just starts blowing in. And it was beautiful, you know, and I'm standing there, I'm walking back out, I'm standing at this waterfall, looking this way at the waterfall, snow drifting down through, and then I look to the other side, and there's like the land of Narnia is forming in the distance. And it's just this, I mean, like literally like this magical moment for me. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I can create some pretty cool stuff. You know, I can, my ingenuity, all these things, I can do some, but there is nothing that I can do that would ever top this. There's nothing in and of myself that I can generate myself with my own hands that would look more beautiful and more full than what I'm looking at right now. And so I think what happens is, you know, I think about Paul and Silas in this moment of going, they could have been sitting there thinking, okay, if we wait till about 2:30, the guard kind of starts to, he may start to drift off to sleep a little bit, you know, and then start putting this plan together of how they could escape. But they just simply go into prayer and worship. And I think sometimes we're looking for all, you know, how can I make this better? How can I fix this? How can I? It's prayer and worship. It's spending that time in communion and relationship with the Father that creates this beautiful moment of just being in his presence and responding to that. And then stories like this happening, because there's no way that Paul and Silas could have orchestrated this in and of themselves. They could not have created an earthquake jumping up and down. They just could not have done that. And so this is a beautiful moment of God's glory just descending and doing something so incredible, because they were simply spending time hosting his presence in prayer and worship.
And the one other thing that I think is really kind of sums the whole thing up, this whole idea of hosting God's presence and, well, what comes of that? Yes, miracles come. Yes, you get to be part of something grand. The key, and I can say that this has been my own personal experience, is that when we become a host of his presence, it doesn't just affect us. It's this beautiful thing of hosting God's presence. It is intimate and personal for me, but it's not just for me. What he gives me, I can freely and gladly share with anyone who wants to be a part of it. And I think that this is the perfect illustration, this story, because we would say the miracle is the earthquake, right? And that is a miracle. And we would say the chains falling off, that's a miracle. I think that in God's heart, in his deepest heart, what he would call the miracle is that jailer and his family coming to salvation. That's the miracle, is that Paul chose to stay because he knew the presence of God is with me. I know, because the doors just flew open and the chains just fell off. His presence is here. And I know that if his presence is in the room, someone else is going to be affected by it. It's not just for me. And so we see that in this story, that the jailer comes to faith, the family, and the ripple effect of being in God's presence. Look at the ripple effect of Paul and Silas make the choice to stay, which is quite miraculous in and of itself, right? Because I would probably be tempted to run. But they choose to stay because they see something. They see something that the world can't see. They see that it doesn't matter what you do to me physically. You can put me in chains. You can put me in a cell and close the door. I am still free. And I am still walking with my Savior. And so they stay because they see this jailer and they see an opportunity to share the presence of God and say, look at this God that we serve. And guess what? He wants to be a part of your life too. And so the beautiful thing that happens when we choose to walk humbly before our God and host his presence is that we become a witness. And I love the word witness, because the word witness, I'm always looking up definitions of words. It's just who I am. And so I looked it up, and the word witness means to see or be evidence of something. Now, how many of you would like in 2019 to look back and say, I was evidence of God's presence in this world? I was proof. I am proof that he's alive, that he's working in the world, that he has much to offer to us. When we choose to become a host of his presence, prepare our hearts, become a host, we become a witness to the world around us. And going back to even what Alan said about, it's just the simple prayer and worship, and it's the leaning in. It's been that way since the book of Acts. That's how it happened. That's how the church was birthed, prayer and worship. It's the same thing today. And the beautiful thing is, even this concept of being a witness and affecting others, we don't have to work at it. When you are a host of God's presence, it just kind of just comes out of you. And the people around you, just like the jailer in this story, they will go, what was that? What's going on with you? It's different than anything I've experienced. And then you get to tell them and be that witness. So when we host the presence of God, it automatically goes this way, and it automatically affects those around us.
So as we get ready for this next year, and as we go into 2019, you know, this is always the time of year where you got to make your New Year's resolutions and your goals and all of those things. And in January, the second Sunday in January, we're going to be starting a series, Stop, Start, and Continue. We did it last year. We're bringing it back. It's just a very intentional series about what are the things in my life that I need to stop, what are the things in my life that I need to start, and what are the things in my life that I need to continue doing. But goals and all of those things are great, but all of those things are empty unless we're leaning into the Father and asking him, Father, what is it that you want to speak into me? Where is it that you want to take me? How this year can I host your presence so that I can be a witness and so that I can see what you want to do in the world around me? So as the worship team comes on up this morning, we wanted to be intentional this morning about creating an environment to kind of model this. And with the statement that prayer and worship create the environment for being in his presence, to hear from him, we're going to take that intentionality this morning, and we're just going to turn this entire sanctuary into a place of prayer and worship. But along with that, in the back side rooms, or the overflow rooms, we have some of our prayer team that is going to be back there, and they're going to be available to pray with you. This area up front is open. The areas on the sides are open, in the middle. So here's what I want you to see for the next little bit. Don't feel like you just have to stay in your seat and be there. You can. You can kneel down at your seat. You can stand at your seat. You can sit at your seat. You can go to the back for prayer. You can come up here. You can kneel down. But let's just make this a place of prayer and a place of worship over the next little while, and spend some time hosting his presence as we go into this new year. So, Father, why don't you stand with me this morning? Father, we just come before you this morning. And we press in. We press in with prayer. We press in with worship. And we say, you are welcome. You are welcome. I want to specifically ask that if you're here this morning and you need prayer for healing, then I want to make sure that before you leave this morning that you make your way to the back into the overflow rooms, and there will be someone back there to pray healing over you. It's not the only thing, but I want to specifically this morning call out that the Father wants to heal this morning. He wants to bring healing. Let's worship.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.